From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Gospel According to Paul in a Nutshell, part of his series in the book of Romans. The text is chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. Dr. Cairns called verse 21 of chapter 3 the hinge of history. With the words, but now, Paul begins to explain how God can justify sinners and remain true to his righteous character. The answer is found in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, on whom the just wrath of God fell as he hung on the cross as a substitute for guilty sinners. Paul had experienced God's saving power firsthand, and it thrilled his soul. This is the message he preached all over the then-known world. It is the only message that provides the solution to man's sin and guilt. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, A Quiet Heart. The text is Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. It is always weakness to be fretting and worrying, questioning and mistrusting. What can we do if we wear ourselves to skin and bone? Can we gain anything by fearing and fuming? Do we not unfit ourselves for action and unhinge our minds for wise decision? We are sinking by our struggles when we might float by faith. Oh, for grace to be quiet! Why run from house to house to repeat the weary story which makes us more and more heartsick as we tell it? Why even stay at home to cry out in agony because of wretched forebodings which may never be fulfilled? It would be well to keep a quiet tongue, but it would be far better if we had a quiet heart. Oh, to be still and know that Jehovah is God! Oh, for grace to be confident in God! The Holy One of Israel must defend and deliver his own. He cannot run back from his solemn declarations. We may make sure that every word of his will stand, though the mountains depart. He deserves to be confided in. And if we would display confidence and consequent quietness, we might be as happy as the spirits before the throne. Come, my soul, return unto thy rest, and lean thy head upon the bosom of the Lord Jesus.
Patiently the cross.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Do you know why the charismatic movement has taken off so much? Do you know why people are taken in with counterfeit emotion? Because when they come to churches, they're as dead as the local cemetery. And the people in it may as well have been buried years ago. We have people who imagine that emotion is something that ought to have no place. Preachers shouldn't get emotional. Stand up and read a learned essay. You know, I would far rather work for Greenville City or County collecting your garbage than to stand up here reading your learned essays. If what I believe doesn't move my own heart, why on earth should it be worthwhile telling to you? He was filled with emotion. I believe in emotional religion. As long as the emotion is not the product of some slick operation, not the product of some psychological gimmickry, but it's the product of deep and powerful truth, the product of seeing Christ in His glory, the product of understanding the grace of God in all its majesty. When you see great truth, it's bound to have an effect upon you. It's bound to give a deep emotion. Paul was certainly thrilled with this gospel, and well might he be. This is the gospel that gave him perfect assurance. Read again. I'm not going to read it tonight for the sake of time, but read again how he climaxes the great 8th chapter of Romans. Starting at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? What will be my response to all this great gospel of justifying righteousness that I have been expounding? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And then he starts going down the line and down the list. He says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him also freely give us all things? And then, who lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Come on, devil. Come on, all the hounds of hell. Come, who lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, that is ascended to the right hand of God. Look at Christ. And then the big question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now here's where we come to real life. For Paul was living a dangerous life in a dangerous situation, and he was facing death every day he lived. And he knew it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Where did Paul get that assurance? Where did he get it? Oh, he tells us earlier in the 8th chapter that God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit. How does God's Spirit bear witness? He bears witness through the Word. He bears witness through the Gospel. He applies the Gospel to the heart. And I want to tell you, my friend, Paul had every right to be thrilled with the Gospel because it gave him such a joyful assurance. When you can face life and death, when you can face men and devils, when you can face eternity and the judgment with absolute assurance, Christ is mine and I am His. He is my righteousness. He bore my sins and I have His righteousness. He paid my penalty and I receive the just deserts of His work. Then you will have assurance. This is the doctrine that led Paul to true holiness. How do you live a holy life? If you're saved, this is a big blanket statement, but it will do. It's true to the in every case. If you are saved, two things will be true among many others. One, you desire to be holy. And number two, you're grieved that you're not as holy as you ought to be and want to be. There are no exceptions to that rule. People who are happy to be sinners are sinners. They're not saints. You desire to be holy. But how do you be holy? How do you live above the world and sin with heart made pure and garment white and Christ enthroned within? How do you do that? You listen to most preachers today and they denounce your sin and say, now, put your hand up and walk the aisle if you want to get it right. Come up and say a prayer. You say the prayer and tomorrow morning you're back where you were the day before. How do you be holy? Make up your mind. I remember a young fellow coming to me years ago in a terrible way with a terrible problem. I mean, probably the most awful moral problems I have ever had to face in any individual. He said, what am I to do? What am I to do? I go, and he mentioned to a very eminent man in the gospel ministry. And all I'm told is, make up your mind and do it. That's good news, isn't it? Make up your mind and do it. No, no, no. Paul got a grasp of the gospel. And the gospel got a grip of Paul. And the result of it was, as he says in Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you're not under law, you're under grace. Which, if we ever get that far in Romans, I will then prove to you is another way of saying you've been justified freely by God's grace and you have the righteousness of Christ imputed to you without the works of the law. Oh, I tell you, this was the basis for everything he did in service. I beseech you therefore, brethren. What's the therefore referring to? Look at all I've said. Look at all that I've said about justifying righteousness. And if that doesn't move you to give your body to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, I don't know what will. If a sight of Christ, your righteousness, if the sight of Christ in his life and his death and all that he's done for you doesn't stir your heart to serve him, nothing else will. So this is the gospel that Paul is exploring here in chapter 3. Now, when we come to look at this passage, I will have 5 points to make. But don't worry, I'm not going to make them all tonight. In fact, I may not get beyond the first of them tonight, which will really get us backed up for the next week. And the third week might well be a marathon. But as we look at this great gospel, first of all, I want you to think of what he says about the essence of it, the essence of the gospel. First and foremost, let me make this clear. The gospel is a revelation of the righteousness of God apart from the works of the law. That is the gospel. Now, I want you to get this. The gospel, if you were to ask people today, what is it? Well, it is if you come to Jesus, he'll forgive your sins and make you happy. Now, that's all very true. But do you see how perverted that is? Do you see how perverted it is? The gospel, the good news is, if you do this, God will do that. Come on. Think straight. The gospel is not God might do something on condition you do something else. The gospel starts with this. God has done something. That's it. It's a revelation of the righteousness of God apart from the law. Now, we have dealt with this already in looking at verse 21, so I'm not going to deal with it in much detail at all tonight. Except to point this out once again, that anything that masquerades as the gospel, that does not reveal the righteousness of God is not the gospel. It's false. Now that again is a sweeping statement. But listen to me, we live in a day when apostasy is rampant. By apostasy I mean a deliberate overthrowing of the Word of God. It's rampant. And yet the evangelical cause has never been weaker in its response than it is today. Romanism is back in fashion. Realize that 100 to 150 years ago, Protestantism believed that Romanism was dead forever. Go back another couple of centuries to the days of the Puritans, and they thought Romanism was about to disappear from the earth, and that Christ was about to set up his kingdom right here on the earth. They were ready for it. But Rome is still with us, and making great progress. And the response of evangelicalism has never been weaker. Why? Because the whole doctrine of justification by the revelation of the righteousness of God without the deeds of the law has never been less understood, and it has never been less preached than it is today. What is masquerading as the gospel in our pulpits never mentions the righteousness of God. Never mentions it. Now I want to put it to you very bluntly. This is the gospel Paul had in mind. This is specifically what Paul had in mind when he wrote, "Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." He was not talking about a gospel that denied the deity of Christ. That wasn't happening in the churches of Galatia. He was not talking about a so-called gospel that denied the inspiration of Scripture. He was talking about a gospel that was not faithful to the revelation of the righteousness of God without the deeds of the law. And if that still stands today as it does, it makes me fear for many a Christian preacher and many a Christian church and many a so-called gospel meeting. You see, the gospel must deal with certain things. It must deal with sin. How is that good news? How is it good news to deal with sin? Well, it is good news because God has the answer to sin. But it must deal with sin. It must deal with guilt. It must deal with the sinner's alienation from God. It must deal with his condemnation. It must deal with the wrath of God against sin. We'll see that when we get down to verse 25, where the very translation of the Greek text is perverted by most modern translators because they hate the theme of the wrath of God against sin. But if we're going to preach the gospel, we must preach a gospel that denounces sin, that reveals the sinner's guilt, that shows him under condemnation, and then that brings out in all its glory the beauties of the gospel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.